Every child is afraid of the dark, the unknown, the nightmare. In Gatlin, Nebraska, that nightmare is in the corn. Stephen King's Children of the Corn. Stephen King, the author of Carrie, The Shining, The Dead Zone, and Christine, an adult nightmare. Children of the Corn.
I'm here, Lord! I'm ready!
Stephen King's Children of the Corn, an adult nightmare.
Trent, you are such a liar that you liked Children of the Corn.
I loved it. I reread the short story.
That's a whole different thing.
Because I loved the movie so much. I've watched it like 3 times, bro. I'm all about the corn. Welcome to Speak All Evil, the podcast you were warned about. I'm Trent, here with Kevin, Kat, and Dave. Hello.
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 Hi.
All kinds of a crazy remote this week. Kevin's in Memphis. We're all scattered about, and we'll see how this goes. Anybody got any hot tips this week? Anybody seen anything they want to recommend or not recommend besides movies that we're going to talk about?
I saw nothing that I would recommend. I saw plenty. But I would highly, well, I would recommend that nobody ever watches everything that I watched this week.
Wow. I saw a great one that we haven't talked about. I don't think you guys have seen, called Last House on Dead End Street. I mentioned it last week. It's kind of a meta snuff type thing. It's awesome. We're definitely going to talk about it. It's on Tubi, Last House on Dead End Street. And I went and saw Arcadian last night. Nick Cage and... Braden, who's the kid that was in The Lodge and It and a bunch of other stuff?
I know who you're talking about. I don't know his name.
Jaden Martell. Familiar face. We've seen him. It's kind of it's mid-range horror. It's just a Quiet Place riff, basically. I called it a mild place because it's a not nearly as good as a Quiet Place. This week, it's Cat's Kids Week. We'll start with the 1984 Stephen King adaptation, Children of the Corn.
As physician Bert and his girlfriend Vicky drive across the Midwest to his new job, their trip comes to a sudden halt when they encounter a body of a murdered boy in the road. In trying to contact the authorities, Bert and Vicky wander into a small town populated only by children, followers of a sinister young preacher Isaac. Soon the couple is fleeing the youthful fanatics who want to sacrifice them to their demonic deity. Deity? Let me say that.
That's deity. Yes.
Deity.
Yeah, whatever. You know, this movie's a classic Stephen King adaptation. I think what I liked about this one is that it starts off heavy, like right off the bat. You got this little kid kind of like narrating what's going on, but you don't get any kind of a setup as to what these kids are doing or why they've tried to murder and succeeded in murdering all the adults in their town. But it's fun, I guess, without that knowledge even. If I'm being honest, I don't even think I couldn't understand why that even happened. So I don't even think we really ever find out why. But we get to kind of just experience these creepy kids just running around. We see him thrown into the air, tied to a cross, so that's kind of fun. So if you kind of act like you don't really care about plot, it's got that going for it. But you got a lot of blood right away, just like straight up poisoning adults, stabbing adults, just slicing them open. And then you get this cute little couple, Terminator lady and hot doctor guy, who are just, you know, driving around and end up hitting a poor little kid. We got the weird ginger kid. Dave loves that weird ginger kid. He was a lot, but he was fun. He made a lot of iconic scenes. You know, the outlet. We have your woman, Outlander. That whole thing. I can't wait for you guys to talk about that.
Love it. Great one.
It's great. I will say, thank you. That's great. I will say, I think I was more sad about the dog death in this one than I was with any other death, which I feel like usually happens, but mostly this one because it was just so cute. I wouldn't say that I loved this film. I appreciated it for what it is. I would say I was looking for the cream of the crop, but instead I'm just left with cream corn. Boom, roasted corn. What did you think?
It's really tough to watch something that I have such fond memories of as a child, like, because this is a tough watch as a movie that I loved and have so many great memories of. I can't wait, Trent, for you to talk about the short story, because
I can't believe what I'm hearing right now.
No, just wait for it. I haven't gotten to the punchline yet. It's really difficult, I think, to take like a 22-page short story. Like, the Stephen King has had a bajillion ideas, some of them fleshed out, some of them not. In fact, oftentimes Stephen King is criticized for like fleshing out his ideas too much and ending up with like 1,000-page coked out nonsense like It. And then you have something like Children of the Corn where it's 20 pages and maybe he just kind of decided that was it. So this one was interesting because I never realized how poorly paced the film is. It's got a banger of an intro with the kids. And this is a premise that the reason that this movie has gone on to spawn never ending sequels and remakes is it's a home run premise. Weird kids, cornfield, killed all the parents. That is an undying fascination that the public will have forever. But it's paced so poorly. Like, once the movie starts and you meet the doctor and his girlfriend, I don't even know if they're married, but you meet the couple. It does stay pretty creepy when they first get to the town and everything. But then it is like this meandering film that doesn't quite know what it wants to be. Does it want to be Amblin? Because you meet the two cute kids that aren't sold on the psychotic Isaac that's like leading all the children. And he speaks to the deity. He speaks to Ozempic, who walks behind the rose. So they're not sold on it. So you get like relationship and then you get cute kids, then you get creepy kids. And I'm actually fine with the fact that they never really talk about why the kids did this. I just had always watched it and assumed that this creature or, you know, this corn monster or whatever talks to the kids only and is like, yo, kill all the adults. All that being said, this movie still fucking rules. I will go to battle with Dave on the weird lasers and stuff. That's only like 5 seconds of this film and it's super fun. Yeah, like whatever weird bad effects. I still to this day think that Isaac and Malachi are super creepy. I have a shitload of memories watching this as a kid. Malachi more than Isaac. I think maybe Isaac's like really high-pitched voice was like just like a little unnerving. But Malachi scared the shit out of me when I was a kid. I was terrified. Did no service to redheaded people around the nation to have Malachi be so menacing. Great, great performance. And I thought that the ending as well, like talking about pacing again, it just sort of like they meander around the town. Not a whole lot happens after like banger intro, meandering, and then let's tie all this up like super fast. Like I remembered it much differently, like with Isaac eventually getting sacrificed and then coming back, which, by the way, that's a super creepy scene when Isaac comes back and he's all zombified and goes from like Munchkin voice Wizard of Oz to like super deep voice demon. All that stuff is great, but it happens so fast. So I loved rewatching this. This is something that I watched a lot as a kid, but like through the lens of good film, bad film, it's the pacing is very problematic. So it's just this brilliant premise that I think King either couldn't or wasn't interested in fleshing out. Somebody else tried with varying degrees of success. Next.
This is based on a short story that I loved. And I feel like the story of Children of the Corn is a horror softball. And I'm so annoyed that this is the best offering that people have out there of this story that's like really dark and it's folk horror. It has all the elements that I should love in a movie, but it's just so stupid. You know, I mean, it has, it's part like Lord of the Flies and part like Wicker Man. It has all these elements that I just like look forward to in a horror movie. This looks like it could be like a Midsommar, whatever. I mean, but I just couldn't stand the corny effects. I couldn't stand the pacing of it. I didn't. The only thing I really liked about this movie was Isaac and Malachi's. The actors that played them did do a good job, but overall, the kids were not threatening. At no point, the kids did a very bad job of being directed to be threatening, because at no point in this film was I ever scared of the kids, even when I was a little kid. I thought that there could be more use of corn. Maybe if they delivered all their dialogue while eating corn on the cob or something like that would be good. But, you know, the ending really, really is the kind of ending that ruins horror movies for me. It turned to a cartoon for 10 seconds and it goes back to a regular movie. And I don't know, it ruins it for me 100%. I don't think it was done justice.
I love this movie so much. It sent me down a cornhole. I watched.
Stop.
I read
softballs.
I mean, if you're eager to do corn puns, I mean, I like it for that reason.
We haven't talked about the fact that Kevin picked this movie years ago, and he got vetoed. It was Dave who vetoed him, but I seconded the veto.
Connie.
I was on board. I thought the same thing. This movie, it sucks. I hate it. I don't want to talk about it. There's too many other good movies at the time that we hadn't talked about, but man, I think this is a fantastic B movie. It's reminded me of a Maximum Overdrive, that intro. And I agree. Yes, the intro is a banger, and yes, it slows down, but yeah, well, it can't be a banger every second. I love that whole sequence, the kids in the cafe. That is an all-time horror sequence, man. It does not get better than that. I mean, come on. It's awesome. It's so bad it's good, but I think it's good. You know, they were trying to do a B horror movie. They had a $1.3 million budget, according to the director. He said after Stephen King, it was about 800 grand. That's what they had to work with. It led me back to reread the short story, which I still have. Night Shift is my favorite Stephen King book, I think. It's the anthology, all the 70s stuff. Really great. Children of the Corn is in there. So I reread that. I watched the original. There was a short film adaptation of this in 83 called Disciples of the Crow. That's really good. It's only like 20 minutes and it kind of has to cut off at a point, obviously, but that's really great. I watched, unfortunately, you know, I listened to Twitter and I was in the Children of the Corn Twitter, and all these people were saying that Children of the Corn 3, Urban Harvest, is the best sequel. And some people were saying it's better than the original and all this. So I watched Urban Harvest and hit a wall right there. Immediately hit a wall. Don't need to see another. I've never seen any other sequels. Never need to. And I did also see the making of on YouTube. There's a great making of. It talks to the director. It talks to Courtney Gaines, who played Malachi, and also the guy that played Isaac. Man, I know it gets slow. And Dave, you said they shoot lasers from their eyes. There's no lasers from the eyes. There is. No. There's some B-movie effects at the end, but I loved the end. The whole turn between Malachi and Isaac. He wants you too, Malachi. Oh man, that's so awesome.
That voice for the rest of the episode, please.
It kind of turned into a comfort watch for me, honestly, over the week. I mean, I had it on a few times, you know. Love this one. Great pick, Kat. Thank you.
I'm Kat. So did you know that it had been kicked off the show previously when you picked it?
I must have blocked that out. I knew that you hated it. I knew that you hated it, but I was just kind of like, I don't know, might be fun.
As far as why they did it, the kids, they killed all the adults because according to Isaac, he who walks behind the rose wanted the sacrifices. He who walks behind the rose telling Isaac what to do, and Isaac's carrying out the orders, and he's demanding sacrifices of all the adults. Because it's just like it's an extremist religious sect. It's
yeah. You know,
so then everyone's following blindly and all this. I did think the two kids were so awful and annoying, the two good kids when they're dressed in their parents' clothes and all that. You must have been dying, Dave. I was dying too, but it kind of made it funnier, you know?
I liked it when I was a kid.
I wish it was worse, or I wish it was better. It's just in the middle somewhere.
Okay. Yeah, I love the religious talk, which is, again, we say this all the time.
It's right up your alley.
Super scary how relevant it is now. I mean, there are some speeches given. Dr. Guy, when he's battling the kids in the corn, gives like a whole speech about how dangerous it is to just blindly follow. And I'm sitting, you know, we're sitting here watching our country try to get absolutely taken over by Christian nationalists. And I'm like, Jesus Christ, like, why is everything in horror still so relevant so many years later? I love that aspect. Stephen King is always dancing around that. He's an atheist. He very outspoken about hating organized religion, especially extreme sects. I love that part of it. And then like everything around the kids and stuff, like I just talked about this, like the girl has to have like the shining. They're always dancing around like some sort of like supernatural sight thing. You know, Stephen King loves to do that. And like the girl having the sight with the pictures and stuff like that. Like I even kind of roll my eyes a little bit at that. Like, okay, I know it's 84 and everything's got to have like a dose of Amblin here. So you got to have these kids in there, but you know, now she's got the sight, and yeah, it was a little much.
I love that this is a classic case of kids drawing scary pictures. That's a time-honored. I love kids drawing scary pictures, man. And there's tons of that in this. Yeah, she's got the sight, and she's, you know, drawing things before they happen. I thought that was great.
It did not lack potential. I mean, there was lots of situations and setups like that that I thought were great. I mean,
well, I was confused.
That's why I hated it.
I legitimately have just never really gone down the sequel rabbit hole, the sequel remake, whatever the hell. There's so many of them out there. But it really makes you wonder, like, how did this movie and this story, I mean, we're still seeing remakes come out today, or continuations or reimaginings, whatever you want to call them. But it's because this premise is a home run every single time. You could tell me tomorrow, guess what? The Sci-Fi Channel made a 2024 version of Children of the Corn. I'm going to watch it and fall for it again. It's probably going to suck. And then the open thing that you talked about, Trent, how that's like an all-time classic.
Yeah. It,
like, as every single director that got their hands on a sequel to in the Children of the Corn franchise, how did you not turn this into like a Scream situation where every Children of the Corn movie should have some banger around something like that situation? Because it's a gimme. I don't even care if it doesn't make sense. Like, show me a new way that a bunch of children sneak up in a small town and kill a bunch of adults. I will watch that 100 times out of 100.
I thought the kids were scary. They're very scary. They all have hatchets and meat cleavers, and they all have very folk horror weapons, and I was totally scared by the kids. And we kind of glossed over Linda Hamilton.
Yeah.
Who I think is awesome in this. And Peter Horton plays her husband. I thought they were both tremendous. Great performances from them. Linda Hamilton, no slouch.
She does a little hotel dance, a little song and dance there in the beginning.
Great scene.
Sarah Connor.
I love that. That's such a great scene. I thought she's so good in that. And, you know, I'm curious too, Kevin, you mentioned nobody's been able to do a decent movie since this one, in my opinion. I mean, I've only seen one, but I'm calling it right there. This was a, like I said, $1.3 million budget, made $14 million at the box office. This was a hit, made some money. I don't know why nobody ran with it and put some more budget into it. Maybe try to do.
A lot of times you watch these movies that turn into franchises and everything, and like the sequels, like you'll be surprised because you'll find some actors that went on to do like much bigger things, or you'll find a director that got their start doing like, you know, I don't know, I no knowledge here, but like Leprechaun 2 or something. And this one, I'm like, holy crap, every single movie gets worse. It just gets worse. It's really remarkable. I mean, you know, I was not as smart as Trent this week. And I was like, all right, same thing, Trent. I was like, oh, everyone's talking about Urban Harvest. Check it out. This is absolute garbage. Okay, well, Isaac's Return. John Franklin is great as Isaac in the original. Let's watch part 4, John Isaac Franklin. Returns. So bad. So bad. Then I was like, well, what about some of these modern ones? Here, I know I'm going to hop on the show this week and be like, I'll fall for it every time. Let's fall for it. Watch like two or three of those. Such garbage. There are a few that do have like decent cold opens and then literally falls off a cliff, far worse than the 84.
That's original. The formula. Sharks of the Corn. I'd like to recommend that. Tim Ritter.
Does everybody know that John Franklin was 23 or 24 years old when they filmed this? Isaac.
Yeah. I mean, I remember.
What?
Yeah. He had like a growth, a hormone growth thing or something. He's still quite small. A couple pieces of trivia here I got. And you guys know that Isaac's weird bowl haircut is because he filmed a commercial for Star Trek Atari game the day before and then flew directly in, and he had the Vulcan. He played a Vulcan in the commercial, and he had the Vulcan haircut, even with there's the little cut in the line, and he got there and they said, wow, that's great. That's very creepy. You just leave it like that. Funny. All right. Well, I think this is a reappraised King adaptations, especially from the 80s, that I always thought were bad. And, you know, going back now, maybe it's because I've seen so many much worse things since then. This is another one that I say is great. Definitely check it. It's on Shudder, right? And Tubi, or it's on Shudder and other
Prime
places.
Right,
it's
now.
On Prime.
Those yeah, last two we watched, I think they were Cat's Picks as well. But Cujo and Christine. Mm-hmm. I was really surprised by Christine.
Thinner. I mean, we haven't seen a bad one, really.
Let's try harder.
Next up on Cat's Cornhole Week. Cat's Kids. Court Kids. The
no, do not combine the two.
From 2014, a movie called Cooties.
Struggling writer Clint returns from New York to his hometown of Fort Chicken to take a job as a substitute summer school teacher. He meets an old crush, Lucy, in the teacher's lounge, but his hopes are dashed when he learns she's dating uncouth PE teacher Wade. Meanwhile, some tainted chicken nuggets have found their way to the school cafeteria, and a girl has been infected with some kind of terrible zombie-like disease. She bites another child, and soon most of the kids have turned into flesh-eating monsters. The teachers, who remain unaffected, must band together to survive. This was fun. Just an all-around upbeat. Great. Time that everybody on the podcast loved. Obviously not a lot of substance, but you know, sometimes you don't need it. We got a stacked cast of comedic gems just trying to fight off some evil kids with blood and guts galore. You've got gross pussy virusy faces, and then you got bloody ripped off limbs, just innards everywhere. Best part, though, gore-wise for me, was the face reveal after the child like slid down the road. Mwah, great. Just like a half jaw, half face situation. Loved it. You know, the story among the teachers was fun. There were some interesting, you know, interpersonal situations going on. You've got like the, you know, the uptight teacher, the writer who's failed. You've got the PE teacher. But then you've got the best character of all, who is Doug, who just said the weirdest shit. And the first thing you see of his character is him reading a book that's like how to connect with people, like how to try to have a conversation with other humans. It was great. I chuckled many a time when he was on screen. There were lots of bits that he did, so I think he was the best part of the movie, besides the fun gore. It got me real good. Other than that, the plot was fun. You know, tainted chickens just causing weird things to happen with only children, which I think was fun. The interesting thing about these zombie virus kids is that they were like smart zombies. So it was kind of like they were fast, they were smart. It was like a, I don't know, like a 28 Days Later fast kid zombie meets the smart zombies from, was it like Day of the Dead or something like that? It was great. They got this weird super strength. They're climbing trees. Who knew? Was it the greatest horror film ever? Obviously not. I'm not here to lie to you guys, but I think it gave great comical vibes, and it was cute. Sometimes it was humorous, and we got a fun cast out of it. So you're welcome, Trent.
Next week. Hated it. No, I'm just
kidding. Got him. Hated it.
I didn't hate it. It's fine. I liked it much more than I was anticipating. I really just really didn't want to watch this movie. I put it off as long as I could. And, you know, it's fine. It's a serviceable mid-grade horror comedy with familiar faces. You got Elijah Wood. You got Rainn Wilson. You got others. I mean, I would liken it to Life After Beth. Wouldn't say it's quite as good as Life After Beth, but, you know, I chuckled. There's laughs in it. It's definitely funny at times. There's funny things that happen, and there's funny dialogue. Elijah Wood, I full respect. He's a horror head. He starred in and was a producer on the Maniac remake. He is a producer in lots of horror movies, and I've heard him talk about it. He's always on horror Twitter. He's a head, so always props. The problem for me with this is the same problem I have with a lot of mid-horror comedies. I don't really like them. You know, of course, I love the classics, but just a big drop-off to me between What We Do in the Shadows and the mid-tier. And the thing is, it's like pleasant enough, and you're like, okay. And they do the setup. You're like, okay, the kids are zombies. That's cool. The kids are going ham on the schoolyard. They're all eating all the teachers and stuff. Children of the Cornish. Children of the Cornish Hen.
Wow. And then that was a good one.
So then they, know. You know, then all the teachers get trapped. And so it's kind of a Dawn of the Dead thing. It's like the school is the mall in Dawn of the Dead. And you're fine. But the thing is, once it's time for the third act, who really cares? I mean, you've kind of seen the best of what's going to happen here. And the rest is just going to play out. There's really no suspense. There's no stakes. Nobody's going to die, whatever. And at that point, grab a snack, pick up the guitar, check the messages. You know, sure. I'm in there. It's fine. Yeah, I wouldn't recommend it. Unless if you love horror comedies and you're willing to go places in the horror comedy world, like I would go with Into the Corn with the Children. If that's your if horror comedy is your jam, it's perfectly fine. But for me, eh.
This movie is a vibe, though. There's like a whole bunch of like Boy Scouts versus zombies or whatever. There was even a Shudder zombie movie that we were all kind of on the fence about. That's kind of like this, where they're kind of like more jovial than a real zombie movie. Even like Return of the Living Dead is way darker, but still comedic. But yeah, this movie would slap as like a season finale. If you had like The Office and 30 Rock and Glee made a Halloween special, and I'd be going around being like, yo, dude, have you seen that special? It's actually pretty sick. But because it's a horror movie and it's on the show and everything, it just didn't feel real to me in that way. But I did like it. I enjoy the movie most when the characters were talking and it was just kind of like the comedic elements of it and their relationships and their quirks. Like, I thought that was had me most engrossed in the movie. And I did respect the gore, especially against children, which is always nice.
Yes, agreed.
And so I did like this movie, but I think that just seeing so many familiar faces for me just felt different. And I like Kenneth from 30 Rock was like exactly the same character. Rainn Wilson was pretty much Dwight Schrute. I mean, pretty much, it's pretty close. But that's kind of what I liked about it. But I wouldn't say it was a great movie. And the ending, come on.
You didn't like the ending?
No, I didn't like the ending.
Oh, I thought it was redeeming when, I mean, I don't want to spoil it, but I kind of like
what you were talking about. I didn't mean that. I just mean they just kind of like drive away.
The violence against children kind of comes to a head. And that is, I meant to say that it is kind of freaky to watch everyone try to kill children.
So this movie, 2014, so it was probably like 2013-ish, is another movie that like I caught online in terms of like news and how it was going to hit the festival circuit. And I'm like, zombie horror comedy with kids with Elijah Wood, Rainn Wilson, you know, Jack McBrayer. I mean, so many people, Hurley from Lost, like, he can't fucking lose on this movie. And then I was so like naive at the time, I guess. I'm like, oh, that's weird that it didn't get a theatrical release, not realizing that it probably didn't get a theatrical release because it's not very good. And so I was like dying. I went and bought the DVD. I was ready. I was like ready to support this movie. And I was just so disappointed because I think, again, this is a home run premise. Show me elementary school children becoming zombies off shitty chicken nuggets. How do you lose? And then throw in Lee Whannell as a writer and an actor. So you got the Saw guy. I'm a fan of Glee. I think that Glee was fantastic. Also, that sort of like dives into the American Horror Story universe. So I was like, wow, I was really disappointed at the time. I think I like sold the DVD back or something like, but I loved it this time, like, because I had such lower expectations, and I wasn't comparing it to all of the other horror comedies. I mean, you know, you're talking like you had a pretty good run, like around Shaun of the Dead, like up through like Zombieland or so. And there's a bunch in between there. You had a pretty good run of like of horror comedies, not just zombies, but all around. So like you said, Trent, like I love Elijah Wood. I love seeing the, you know, the different horror stuff that he's in. What's that Come to Daddy movie? I think we've talked briefly about it on the show, but really mm-hmm. cool flick. Another one that he stars in. I think he was an exec producer on that. I did have a problem with the pacing because, again, it's a really cool premise. And then it really kind of slows down. Like, I loved how they kept trying to, like, you know, the outbreak sort of manifests outside at recess, which I think is brilliant. And then the teachers get inside, lock the kids outside. I loved how they kept having the dynamic of like going outside and like looking at the kids. It's on the playground, trying to not let him into school. There's a scene where like a mom comes to pick the kid up, and brilliant comedic scene and like really fucking violent, talking about some kids getting it and stuff like that. But then it got like almost kind of boring, and Dave nailed it. Like, I almost like wish that there had been more focus on like slower character development dialogue scenes, because every single person is like a super stereotype and like an exaggerated version of what you would expect to see in like a teacher's lounge or something, but they're all brilliant. Like, even Lee went out, loved his character. But I was surprised this time, like not expecting it for anything that the writers, director, the actors, nothing that they'd done previously. I was watching it, like I said, with low expectations because I was very disappointed a decade ago when I first caught it. I really, really enjoyed it this time. And I kind of liked the ending. Like, I think maybe because I was shocked at how like the third act was a little bit slow for the first like portion of it, I dug the ending. Cat's right. Kid getting dragged down the road, like really impressive horror scene where they get his face as he turns around, right to the cock in the mouth. You have to watch the movie. It's not what you think I'm saying, but yeah, I was really surprised. I was really concerned this week. My first thought was, Kat's going to save Cooties for whenever I have to follow her because she thinks I'm going to get her back. And I don't think I'm going to have her back on this one this week. It turns out that I totally do. And I appreciate you picking it because this is a movie that I just resigned to being garbage. It's not. Trent's right. It's perfectly mid. There's nothing to be mad about. You will enjoy it. You're probably not going to remember it like super close, and you're not going to go raving to your friends about it, but it's totally a good time to check out.
That's chicken and corn week.
Dual rear wheel.
Chicken corn chowder week with Kat.
Yeah, sounds like something that would be at the fair.
I actually have a bunch of corn.
Dual rear wheel.
Dual rear wheel.
That's what he's trying the whole time.
Dual rear wheel.
Dual rear wheel.
It's tough.
That joke was so stupid. Dual rear wheel?
Is it?
It is tough.
I loved it, though.
Dual rear wheel.
I will say, I did have a favorite bit that ran through the movie, and it was from Doug, my boy, and it was when he kept telling people to be quiet.
Yes.
It's like, please, yeah. You got, please be quiet.
Yeah.
And everyone's just like staring around. I chuckled. I had some good laughs.
He's like, man,
we all need some good laughs.
And like slaps him.
Yeah.
He's chilling.
No, it's when he goes in, he's like, no, great news. I checked through his feces and stuff like that. Like,
oh,
he's
my
trying
God.
To like determine, because is this could be an original take where like the zombie, like the virus or whatever it is, if you've gone through puberty, you're good to go. I actually thought mm-hmm. that was pretty funny, but he's like, yeah, no, I determined, like, went through his feces, and they're all like, looked so horrified. He's like, what? I wore gloves. And he holds his hands up. I was like, they're like, yeah, you're not wearing gloves.
As soon as I saw that, I was like, oh no, Kevin, I'm so sorry.
I liked when Elijah Wood shows up at the school for his first day of teaching, and he's kind of walking through the playground, and the stuff he's overhearing is taking him aback. Like that one kid, his mom's dropping him off, and the kid says, they're arguing or something, the kid says, fuck you, mom, like super loud. And then he gets into the classroom and he tries to do the call me by my first name thing. Did you guys ever have a teacher that did the call me by my first name thing?
Oh yeah,
I had. It reminded me so much of Mark, man. I had this guy who was just like Elijah Wood in this movie. He showed up my freshman year, bright-eyed, bushy-tailed young guy.
Oh, no.
He's gonna go in there, he's gonna be a friend, he's gonna be the mentor, he's gonna be a confidant, he's gonna teach you some things. Call me Mark. That was his whole thing. Call me Mark. Oh man, and he was the coolest guy for like a year and a half, 2 years maybe. And then he was the biggest prick that ever walked the halls of that school because of the kids. The kids could not handle mm-hmm. what happens in this movie. He starts off, you know, call me by my first name, and he writes Clint on the chalkboard, but the way he writes it looks kind of like cunt.
So good.
And immediately they're like, cunt? Hey, cunt? I mean, that's what happens when you try to be nice to kids, and that, you know, this movie illustrates that. You walk in, tell me, you know, call me by your first my first name, you walk out a changed person. So I did like that. That was kind of a funny comment, I thought, on teaching.
The names in this are fantastic. Like our main kid prick zombie, his name's fucking Patriot. That is
Patriot.
So so spot
born on 9/11.
Oh God.
I was intrigued that they never came up with a cure for these children. They just decided that, well, all these kids gotta die. There's no they didn't like wait for like anyone to tell them that maybe like these kids could be brought back. Instead, they're just like, nah, these kids are dead. I'm like, okay, respect.
I thought that this would have been a little bit better if it all exploded at the very end. Like if we got more of that character stuff and they just slowly throughout the movie had this thing that was happening, but it didn't maybe catch on like quite as quickly and have some huge, crazy, violent, explosive ending, I think I would love that movie.
I always appreciate true widescreen. This is at least where I watched it. I think I actually rented it because the Prime version I thought was shitty, but I love true widescreen. That's always fun for me.
You're really reaching, Trent. You're really trying to be nice.
No, I really enjoyed it. I was like, oh, that's a good thing. You know, there are good things that I enjoyed about this movie. I liked the, you know, Elijah Wood's character is writing a book. He's a writer, not a teacher, is what he's telling himself. He's just, you know, going to do this real quick, but he's really a writer. And he's writing a horror novel about a boat, and it's called Keel Them All. That was funny.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't get
it. You guys notice that it was directed by the guys that did Becky, speaking of our Kids Week?
Really? No, I didn't. I missed that. Wow.
Yeah.
I'd go Becky. Way,
oh yeah, big way, time. Yeah, the douchey principal of the school is one of the writer or one of the directors rather.
Oh, okay.
I'm sorry, no, one of the writers. He was the other writer. But yes, there's a duo that directed Becky and then produced Wrath of Becky, the sequel.
Right.
That did this one.
I love the stories. I mean, it's a thing in horror for the writers that can't write, all the way back to The Shining.
Yes.
And Josh Rubin and Scare Me. There's that whole thing that the writer's block becomes a very psychological, crazy thing.
I did like that the kids, once they're turned, they're not too strong. I think it gets, and I think we talked about it a little bit in 28 Weeks Later, where the zombies are so strong, it almost becomes ridiculous. I like that the kids didn't, you know, they're not stronger than they physically could be, even with top adrenaline or whatever virus. They can't still just bust through walls or anything. You can actually, you know, barricade in and buy some time.
I don't know. They were pulling limbs off of people.
Well, okay, that was stupid, but that was like the opening gore scene. Fine, whatever.
I like the first one where the girl's hair comes off, the ponytail.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh, yeah. That's when you knew.
Where was the mom from Elijah Wood's mom in this? She looked familiar to me, and I didn't get a chance to track it down.
The
you
office.
Know, Kevin?
Yeah, it's The Office. It's
Meredith. Meredith.
Oh, that's the lady that I met in with Bill
oh,
Moseley.
Yeah. Yeah, Dave
Meredith
Miller.
From The Office.
Next week, Speak of the Devil. Checking out The Exorcist 3 from 1990 and The Devil's Advocate from 1997.